This broadcast is general in nature and is provided for informational use only and should not be considered investment advice or an offer for a particular security. Views and opinions expressed are those of Richard Bassett and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Consult an investment professional regarding your unique situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Keep in mind, investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
If your retirement is just a few years away, it may be time to adjust your investing strategy.
The shocking statistic is that by the time somebody reaches 65, 95%, they're dead broke, they're dependent on family, or they're dependent on government.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to prove and provide lifetime income.
Welcome to the Financial Planning Hour, presented by J. Marshall Associates of Fall River, hosted by financial advisor Richard Bassett. Over the next hour, be prepared to hear ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it. Now, here's the host of the Financial Planning Hour, Richard Bassett.
And welcome into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. It is Monday, March 25th, and we are live in studio today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480 is the call-in line. And as we start the show, I noticed the stock market is down.
All three of the big three are down.
All three major indexes, the Dow, the S&P, and
NASDAQ. The
NASDAQ composite are down. That's correct, Dave. You know, not surprising, really, if you think about it. The market's been on a pretty steady run this year. And, you know, that happens. The market goes up, the market goes down. What I tell my clients is, you know, you never really want to worry about the inter-year highs and lows, what it's doing in March or June or August or any month, really. What you're really looking for is, how did it start? How did it end? Because that's how I really gauge success. You know, last year's a good example. The Dow Jones, the S&P, really fluctuated quite a bit throughout the course of the year. In the summer, it was pretty bad. Some people were thinking about selling out, you know, changing strategies, if you will. Ultimately, my clients, you know, with the encouragement I gave them, stayed in it, and they were rewarded. By the end of the year, most of them were up 16%+, depending on how much risk they took. And, you know, you have to be in it to win it. Unfortunately, that's sort of the game. You know, I know there's some big lotteries around right now, and people get excited to get the lottery eyes. But the reality is that, you know, you don't get to play the, you don't get to win the lottery if you don't play the lottery. So it's the same thing with the stock market. You've got to be in it to win it. And, you know, the worst thing you can do is try to time the market. And it's never timing the market that's going to help. It's time in the market that matters. So I think that's important.
And you can't be only in the market.
No, and you have to be realistic. You know, I think a lot of times nowadays, Dave, people want to outsource everything because it's less work. You know, hey, we'll do this for you. Okay. Hey, we'll take care of that for you. Oh, sounds good. Sounds easy. Sometimes easy is too easy. You know, gives an example. Last week, I was with a younger client. She's in her 30s, starting out a family, three young kids, young husband. They're all working really hard to make everything work. They're a lovely family, lovely family. But the fact of the matter is, she's got three young kids. She's on maternity leave right now. She's really, really busy. Really, really busy. So she had, through her 401k company, she had authorized them for a fee about 1% a year, and in fees additional to what the funds are charging her, she authorized them this 1% fee, and for that they were going to rebalance and reallocate her money accordingly based on some kind of survey questions, I'm assuming they asked her at some point, because she's never really met with any of these people. And when she showed me her 401k, I said, why do you have money in a money market account? She said, I don't know. I said, well, I do. It's safe, but it's so safe, it's safely going broke, because at your age, you should be taking risks. And then I started showing her some of the bond funds she owned as well. And I said, look at these bond funds. You know, 10-year returns were in the 1%, the 2%, 3% at most numbers. I said, do you really think making 3% average over 10 years is good? And she goes, no, I don't know much about your business, but I know that's not good. I said, right. But these are what the funds have been allocated towards because that's what your company that you've decided to pay this fee to has done. And she said, well, why? And I said, because they've got 20 funds in a 401k. That's all they're going to offer. And they've allocated amongst the 20 different funds. And, you know, bigger question is for all of you is if you look at your 401k provider, could be anybody. They don't give you all the funds available. You know, American Funds, I think, has the company, a mutual fund company. They have like 64 funds. But if you have an American Funds 401k, I promise you, you don't have 64 funds in that thing. You have 12, 20 funds somewhere around there. And the reason you don't have that many is the more funds your employer provides you, the more fees that plan costs, and someone's going to pay that, usually the employer. So I think you've got to be understanding how much, you know, I guess what the limitations are to the types of retirement plans you're offered. And that's where working with a financial advisor can be very, very helpful, I find, because we can point out the obvious that might not be obvious to you, but to us, it's obvious. When you're young, you should be more heavily invested in stocks. Stocks are where the money's going to be made. Bonds are where people go after they've made their money to protect it. You know, and if you ever wonder why, you know, I said, hey, the S&P did 16% last year. That's great. But you look at your account and go, oh, I only made 8. Why? Well, because it's your risk tolerance. The S&P is 500 plus stocks, all the time. There's not one bond component in the S&P. That's not what they do. So, you know, you're not really comparing if you're looking at your balanced portfolio of stocks and bonds. You're not really comparing apples to apples. You're comparing apples to potatoes. The stock market is inherently full of risk, but that risk also is inherently full of reward over the long term. So you have to be aware of that. And, you know, one of the best services I think we offer at the firm is, you know, sitting down with our clients and helping them rebalance their portfolios inside retirement accounts. These are retirement accounts that are still at their employers, Dave, that they don't really understand how they work, but we certainly do. And that's a free service we offer because ultimately that free service makes you a better investor, makes you have more net worth at the end and when it's time to retire. And that's really all what we do. It's about how much.
You say that the stock market is risky but rewarding, but you have to have a balanced portfolio. Just for people that may not have listened or just new to the show, what are the other kinds of investments out there besides the stock market?
Well, there's stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, but those are all under the stock market umbrella, right?
What about on the other side, the safe side of the teeter-totter?
Yep, then you can get into annuities, money markets, CDs, preferred stock, convertible bonds. There's a long, long list, savings bonds. There's a huge list. And you know, the thing I try to talk to clients about is total return, which is what we're all after, is growth plus income. But a lot of times my clients, before they get to us, they focus all on growth. They don't think about how am I going to get income from this portfolio at retirement age or even before retirement age. So, you know, if you have a balanced portfolio, we think of a balanced portfolio as having a combination of stocks and bonds, Dave, understanding the bonds limit your upside potential, but they also limit your downside potential, right? So you it's a trade-off. Stocks are inherently risky. Upside is more return. Bonds are inherently safer than stocks. Downside is the returns are going to be smaller. But with bonds, there's something that stocks don't often have, which is predictable income. So I have clients that are risk adverse. They don't want to be in the stock market. They don't want to worry about day-to-day operations in the stock market. So they might have a heavier portfolio more designed for income. And there you're going to see bonds, you're going to see stocks that pay dividends, you might see an annuity, because those kinds of investments focus on income as opposed to focus on growth. Remember, every person listening is going to go through three stages of investing. You just may not know it. You're going to go through accumulation, that's growing your assets. You're going to go through preservation, that's keeping your assets. And then you're going to go through distribution, which is actually spending your assets. And for some people, that's the scariest one because you've never really seen that before. You know, the whole goal of investing is to grow your portfolio, make it bigger, make it bigger, make it bigger. But the reality is when you start spending your assets, your account size is going to get smaller. It's going to get smaller. And that's scary to some people. But if you have a plan to spend it wisely, if you have a plan to spend it systematically, and you have a plan to spend, you know, lifelong income, then you're fine. The problem is most commercials, most advisors, they focus on the fun. They focus on the sizzle, and they focus on, you know, we're going to make 10% a year, 12% a year, whatever the number is, but they don't control that. No one in our business controls the returns. They'll tell you they do, but they don't. And that's where we get worried, because ultimately we want to make sure that, you know, our clients have a clear and present explanation and understanding of what the limitations are. I was with a client last week, and I had to tell them some of their goals are probably unattainable because of the amount of money they saved, or in this case, the amount of money they haven't saved. You know, you're seeing that more and more in commercials. We'll take that up after the break, but we're going to take our first break and come back strong. But if you're somebody who wants to retire successfully and you're not sure how to do it, give my office a call, 508-673-3300, and we will make it happen.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first 5 callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed, animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology, custom-designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom-designed animated video retirement kit. Call 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. Call now or visit us online at financialplanninghour.com. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Question for Richard. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got a question, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480. Before the break, we were talking about retirement, just good strategies, making sure your accounts are rebalanced, hopefully by someone who knows what they're doing or at least can educate you on what you should be doing.
You can educate me.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
It's about dividends.
Yeah.
Do they get paid yearly, monthly, weekly?
Dividends get paid. Usually it's quarterly. Sometimes, you know, companies have different schedules on when they pay dividends, but generally it's a quarterly dividend. And you'll see it on your statements. If you have brokerage account statements, that is, you will see an estimated annual yield on your brokerage account statements. You know you have a brokerage account because if you turn your paper this way, the landscape way, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you know you have a brokerage account. And if it's a direct mutual fund, it's a portrait version of your statement. It looks a little bit different. So you want to look at that. And, you know, one of the things that's interesting about dividends, like in 2022, it was a bad stock market year, Dave.
Okay.
But I was able to show my clients who had dividend producing investments, even though the stock market declined in 2022, their dividend payments did not decline. In fact, they continued right along, very steady eddy. And what's nice about that is think about it, the stock market's down, which means the values of the funds are down, the shares are down, and now you've got this income payment coming in from your dividend paying stocks or bonds, and or interest paying bonds. Now you have the ability to buy more shares at a lower price. So actually, not that you want the market to dip continuously, but market drops are generally great times to purchase more because you're buying it on sale. So, you know, if you're somebody who bought into the stock market in June or July of last year as the market sort of swooned over the summer, you're in better shape now as the market rebounded because you have more shares buying at a different price. Before the break, I mentioned the government's getting more involved in retirement planning, which is a good thing, I think. And what the government's saying now is you're seeing these commercials on, I saw them over the weekend, and they're kind of funny. They're like, talking about savings, and they're saying you gotta save, gotta save, gotta save, and the more you save, the better off you'll be, and don't take breaks for saving, and don't rob from your savings, your retirement savings, because you won't retire successfully. And obviously, you know why the government's running those commercials is because they're seeing a trend. They're seeing people underfund their retirement. they're, as we talked about on last week's show, they're talking about people who are taking loans on their retirement accounts, people who are taking withdrawals from their retirement account prematurely because they're not retired yet. And the example I always use is my good buddy who always wants to buy a truck. He wants to buy this whole truck. It's about $20,000, he tells me. And all he needs to do is take $20,000 out of his 401k. What's the big deal? And I tell him, Matt, the big deal is you're under 59 and a half. So there's a penalty, 10%. You'd pay federal and state taxes on that withdrawal. So now you've paid penalty, 10%, federal taxes, let's call it 20. State tax, that's 5. So that's 35% you're going to give up to get this truck. And I tell him, that's not even the worst part. And I'll say, what's the worst part, Richard? And I'll say, the worst part is that money you've now taken out, you've robbed from your retirement to give yourself some pleasure today. And I get it, but it's not going to grow. It's not going to compound over the next 10 or 20 years that you're still working. So that 20 grand probably that you want to take, it might equate to 60 or 70 on the back end of when you're ready to retire. And that's the reality. You know, if you don't save enough, if you take money out of retirement to do something now that you know should wait, then you know it. You know, I had a lady in my office last week. She's funny. She's an older lady. She's been retired for years. She was talking about her kids. And she said one of her kids is, you know, they've decided to kind of cash out, cash in, buy a motorhome, and just travel the country. And you know what she told me? She goes, that sounds like a really good idea if you're retired, not if you're 54 years old.
No.
And I agree 100%. You know, we're all tired. We're all burned out from COVID and what we've had to go through as a society since. But the reality is you've got to follow the principles that have made the people ahead of you successful, because they will make you successful as well. And if you believe, you know, if you believe in, you know, the fact that you're burned out, well, then guess what? You will be burned out. You know, trust me. Some weekends, some weeks are worse than others, right? But there's always a new week and there's always something to live for, and that's what you've got to focus on. So I think the government has really started to get in on the tune of retirement planning, because they're saying the same thing that the financial advisors are. People are not saving enough. You know, recently I had a client come in, like I was saying before the break, and they wanted some really pretty lofty goals. They want a snowbird. They want to do this. They want to do that. They want to own a second home. That is all going to cost a tremendous amount of money. And if you don't have a plan or you've never started to fund said plan, you're behind right away. You're behind that, you know, the proverbial eight ball right away. So you've got to find a way to get caught up. So with that couple, we're going to start investing more and more money, start making better investment choices. And in the end, we'll get caught up and they'll be able to accomplish their goals. So it's possible. So anyway, last week we were talking about this Fed meeting, and they did have a Fed meeting. So the higher than expected inflation numbers have worried investors that the Fed may change course on the 3 projected rate cuts that the Fed had anticipated in 2024. Now you see the key word is anticipated. They're saying, the Federal Reserve is saying, that they're going to cut rates 3 times in 2024. And January and February, the inflation numbers were higher than expected. So investors, the stock market, all thought maybe that would push the Fed off the 3 rate hikes, 3 rate drops rather. Who knows? It now looks like the Fed will probably cut rates by June, based on the monetary policy meeting that was held last Wednesday. The potential rate hikes pushed Treasury yields lower after the Fed left intact its forecast for 3 rate cuts in 2024. So again, the key word is forecast. We all live in New England. We know forecasts can change, and they do often. So we'll see what happens. But right now, it looks as though the Fed is planning to start cutting rates sometime this year. And most people think that rate cut's going to start in June. This is what they're calling it in the market. They're calling this the no news is good news press conference, and it boosted stock prices up. So last week, if you saw the market had a pretty good week last week. And again, today it's down. Usually that's what happens after a week or so of gains. You'll see a down day or two because people are going to sell off and take some profits. For the first time since November of 2021, last week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ Composite all closed at record highs. So the stock market is running hot. Some would say overvalued. That's a wait-and-see proposition for me. But so far, it looks as though the rate hikes are going to happen this year. And, you know, if you're a politician, if you're someone who follows politics, it sort of makes sense. They're going to try to raise rates, or lower rates, rather. I keep saying raise. They're going to lower rates before the election because they want to make people feel better about the economy, and that's an easy way to do it. Now, my conspiracy theory is that they are not going to trickle down to the consumer as quickly as when the rates were going up. So if you're someone with a credit card or you're thinking about buying a car or, you know, remortgaging, refinancing your home, I don't think rate cuts at the federal level are going to drop down to your credit cards right away. You know, I think they were quick to raise the rates, but they'll be slower to drop them because obviously the more rates they charge you, the better profit they are making. So just keep that in mind. It's really a tough time to be a young person. And if you think about it, young people generally live more off credit than well-established older people. You buy your car on credit, you finance your education on credit, you buy your first home on credit. You know, you're not coming to the table with, you know, 50% down payments in general, unless your parents or grandparents are very, very generous people. But, you know, the reality is that we're seeing this really tough time for people, and not just young people, but people in general who work with credit and continue to carry credit. So it's a tough time to do that. And if you can be somebody who doesn't live off credit, you're way better off. I tell my clients, the ones that I can tell this to and not have them crack up, is rich people earn interest and poor people pay it. So you definitely want to take that advice, and you want to be someone who earns interest, doesn't pay it. So we'll pick this up after the break. But when we come back, I want to talk about how some ways that we can work on saving more so we don't have to live on credit. And again, if you need help retiring successfully, you can give my office a call, 508-673-3300.
In a world filled with volatile markets and risky high-fee investment choices, you feel alone and confused.
Does the thought of planning for retirement remind you of a scary Hollywood movie trailer? Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit packed full of easy-to-understand information designed to help you create and maintain steady, predictable retirement income that can never be lost in the market. Call today, 855-406-6218, or download it now, financialplanninghour.com. You've worked too long and too hard to allow your retirement to play out like a scary movie trailer. So call right now, 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call. Again, 508-673-1480, 508-673-1480. Before the break, I was talking about last week's Federal Reserve's meeting. They had a monetary policy meeting last Wednesday, and so far, it was the no news is good news press conference, and it looks as though interest rates will begin to drop sometime this year. So if you're somebody who's been hoping for that, praying for that, now's the time. Keep praying. Hopefully it happens. They're saying 3 potential rate hikes this year. Again, that is a forecast. Forecast can change, but so far, so good. Fed boss Jerome Powell did say last week that higher inflation in the first 2 months of the year did support the Fed's cautious strategy as it relates to these pending rate drops. So we'll see.
Before the break, they never mentioned what the percentage would be, like 25% or 50% or a whole point.
Quarter point, yeah, 0.25, not 25%. But I think that the fact is they'll probably go slow. If you've noticed, the Federal Reserve's sort of whole approach to interest rates is, let's go back a few years. They had rates too low, too long. So 2020 rates were at zero. The reason they had to raise rates so quickly as COVID took over was they were so far behind. The rates should have been way higher than zero by then, but that's what they did. So they raised them quickly. That's where we got to the 7s and 8s, and now they're trying to bring it down to the more normal 3s and 4s. Unfortunately, the Fed is generally reactionary, not proactive. And another example where the Fed's sort of mismanaged the rate hikes. So now I think they're really going to be very cautious as it comes to the rate drops. Before the break, I talked about credit, how expensive it is to live on credit, especially now in 2024 with all the interest rates being elevated. And I mentioned that I don't think rates are going to go down quite as quick as they went up. You know, that trickle-down effect to the credit cards and the cars and the houses, I think that's going to take longer than just the Fed saying they've cut rates. So ways that you can avoid living off credit, the easiest example is emergency savings accounts. We recommend that you have anywhere between 3 to 6 months of savings set aside. If you're very conservative, maybe even go out a year. And if you think about it, every year something happens unexpectedly. I can tell you myself. Last year I had a retaining wall collapse. Last year my engine in my car needed to be replaced. That's just two, and that's just me. So those are unforeseen expenses, and luckily because I save money, have extra money in case of emergencies, that emergency fund, I was able to absorb those expenses with little to no disruption to the day-to-day family life. So ways that we can avoid living off credit, saving more really is what it comes down to, right? Let's talk about that. So first thing you can do, Dave, is you can split your paycheck. What's that mean?
What does that mean?
It means you can tell your employer to put the money in two different spots. You could say, hey, put 80% of it in my checking account to pay my bills, and I'm going to put 20% in my savings account for my rainy day fund. Or maybe you'll have a second savings account. My wife and I used to have one. We called it super secret savings. What that meant was no one touches it. We don't use it for anything other than emergencies, and we used to take 10% of our paychecks and put it into that, and it worked really well. It's how we bought a lot of the things when we were starting out as young people. So you can split your paycheck. You can tell your employer you want to deposit your paycheck into multiple places, and ultimately one of those places could be an emergency fund account that'll make you feel better if something does go wrong. Another thing you could do is save found money. Occasionally, you come across found money. Maybe it's birthday money. Maybe it's a Christmas. You know, maybe you win a scratch ticket. Someone put in your stocking at Christmas. Who knows? But every once in a while, you find some money. Maybe you should save it. I remember one time my wife found a $50 bill in the grocery store. She was excited.
I bet.
I was excited. She called me up and told me, hey, you got a $50 bill. I said, wow. Well, she's, I'm like, come home. We'll talk about it. She took a long time to get home that day, I remember.
Yeah, and is there more to the story?
There is.
Yeah.
When she got home, there was no $50 bill anymore. She stopped at another store and bought some beauty products because it was found money. And it found its way right out of her pocket really, really quick. So, you know, take that found money, and if you can put it aside, you're probably going to be better off in the long run. You can pick up a side gig if you have the time and you'd like to. You can pick up a side gig. You know, Maybe it's a per diem job if you're somebody who works in the medical field. I just had a conversation in the parking lot of the radio station of a client of mine who's an EMT who does some side work, working for another system that she's not part of normally. So she gets paid extra money. That extra money could go into her emergency account, which would help her save more. You could make your money work for you. Wow, that's an amazing thing. How does that work? Easy. A lot of my clients still have money in savings at the bank. How about moving that savings account over to a CD at the bank? You can do that. CDs, money markets right now have really good interest rates. You still have the FDIC insurance you want when you're at a bank or credit union. And now you're better off because you're earning that 4 or 5% interest rate on your money as opposed to the savings rate, which is really, really, really low.
Yeah.
So, you know, let your money work for you is another way to save more money for that emergency fund. You could declutter your home. That's my wife's favorite. She loves Facebook Marketplace. She's not great at it, but she loves it. You know, last year I was cleaning out the basement and I found an inflatable raft I used all of twice, and it's got a pump and it's got some oars and I got four kids' life preservers to go with it. I don't have a kid that fits into the life preservers anymore, so before I threw it out, my wife said, I'm going to put it on Facebook Marketplace. $60. No one's bought it yet.
So no?
If you'd like a raft, call my office.
There you go. What's the number again?
508-673-3300. If you'd like a rubber raft, it's great. No holes. So The reality is, you know, by decluttering your home, you do two things. You give your house some room to breathe, and you also repurpose items that you don't really have a use for anymore.
And other people do. You're helping them out.
Exactly, exactly. And it's really a win-win for people. Now, again, just be cautious, a word to the wise, when you're meeting somebody who's a stranger from the internet and you have a cash deal on the table, especially if it's a significant cash deal, meet somewhere public. Police stations are great places to meet. Parking lots of closed businesses are not.
Yeah.
You know, just be aware of that. Be aware of your surroundings. But those are five ways that you can help build your emergency fund. And I'll tell you, you know, my wife and I, long time ago, we had no emergency fund. And then we started saving that 10%, like I said, into that super secret savings account. And within about a year or so, we had $14,000 saved. And it was ultimately how we worked on buying our first home. So, you know, nowadays, as I tell my younger clients, and I tell my clients who aren't younger but have younger kids, you better be aware that your down payment is going to be a lot bigger than your parents or your grandparents was. The houses are worth more. The loan restrictions from the 2008 financial crisis are much stricter. So you're going to have to be a really good buyer. And that's why some of the young people today who are out looking for homes are so frustrated, because they're being outbid by better offers. And not necessarily better money-wise offers, you know, not $500,000 versus $600,000, but better offers, cash offers, or 50% cash offers, where you know their financing is solid, rock solid, versus the kids who are starting out with a first-time home buyer program and had to get $10,000 from grandma to make the ratios work. You've got to be aware of that. So
anything can happen at the closing table, believe me.
Anything can happen.
Inspections, appraisals, all kinds of stuff can go wrong.
Yeah.
Cash buyers,
yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, and you know, and a lot of buyers now are so, or think they are in the driver's seat. They have you waiving home inspections and the like. And I personally, would you want to waive a home inspection on your largest possible purchase ever? Well, no. But the question is, I guess, do you want the home or not? It's such a wild world right now in the real estate business, Dave. I actually met a new client 2 weeks ago. They're sitting at home one night, just minding their own business. Phone rings.
Yeah.
It's people are out of town, I guess, and said, hey, we've been looking for houses. We love your house. What's it going to take you to move? I mean, like out of a movie. And they, of course, you know, first thing you say is, okay, sure, we're not moving. And then you sit down and you start thinking and you think and you think what it's worth and you think what you'd ask. And then you call them back and say, this is what we want. And they say, okay. Can you move out in 30 days? That's how quick it happened. Unbelievable situation, really unbelievable. Now, that's not likely to happen to most of us, I don't think. But the fact is, there's a lot of qualified buyers out there that are really desperate to buy that next home, been waiting for interest rates to drop, been waiting for prices to drop. So you may see a real boom in that business, that real estate business, as these rates start dropping, because it's going to be like blood in the water for sharks. They're so hungry, they're going to want to start, you know, chomping at the bit, and they're going to start wanting to eat those deals. So I think that if you're in the real estate game, you know, it's about to start to turn, because right now it's been a really, really tough year for real estate. But I think in 2024, if the rates drop three times as they're predicting, well, I think things are going to look a lot better. And if you're a younger person, you better be ready, because when the change happens, you want to be able to get out there, know what you can afford, you know, have your pre-approval ready to go. So that way you do the best you can and to make that purchase and to make that deal.
And make sure your pre-approval is current.
Yeah.
It can't be from like 8 months ago.
Well, that's one of my biggest pet peeves is, you know, clients from 20 years ago are like, hey, I bought my house and now you're a mortgage buddy, because I have a guy and a mortgage buddy, Dave and I have a mortgage buddy. But they're like, yeah, you know, this guy, he's a real pain in the butt. I'm like, why? Why? He's a great guy. Why is he a pain in the butt? He goes, he keeps asking for the same documents every couple of weeks. I'm like, yeah, that's the new way things are done, because things change quickly. I remember my friend, and I mean when I say friend, close friend from high school, he was thinking about buying a house under President Obama. There was an $8,000 first-time home buyer credit, and it was sort of around the same time as cash for clunkers. And the idea was is they would give you $8,000 if you were going to buy a home. And the reason they were doing that is because they wanted you to buy a home, because the real estate market was dead at that time. So my buddy called me up, and his dilemma was a tough one. But he said, hey, I've got the house we want. We made the offer. We have a closing date. And I was just laid off. What do you think I should do? I said, I don't think you should buy a home without a job. That's what I think you should do. And he goes, but I'm going to lose the $8,000 home credit, first-time home credit. And I said, yeah, you are. But $8,000 when you're thinking about a $300,000 home, that's not such a big deal. And what is a big deal is if you can't make your first month's mortgage payment. And he said to me, you know, only as a friend from high school could say, he goes, you know what? You're right. I said, yeah, I know. That's why I told you that. I'm so thankful he called, because now he waited. He ended up finding the right home. He's in it today, still in it today. And that $8,000 is a distant memory, but he can afford the payments he has. He's got a great job, great family, and now everything works out the way it should. So, you know, just don't ever let the government, the company, investment company, insurance company, you name it, get you to walk off the cliff by dangling a carrot in front of you, because that's the name of the game a lot of times, is they'll do that. You know, there are companies out there that offer investments, you know, in annuities. They'll give you a bonus. Okay, they're going to pay the person who sold it to you. They're going to give you a 10% bonus up front. That probably means you're not going to make very much money in the program, because they paid it out already to you in a form of a bonus. So you just be aware of that. And really, you want to make sure. I had a conversation today with a client, a potential client. She said to me, she goes, are you a fiduciary? I said, yeah, I'm a fiduciary. That's not a new word. Companies that advertise it 25 times in a 30-second commercial, that scares me. That word is not their word. That word is everybody's word. And that word has been around for about 1,000 years. And the way I explain it to my clients is, what fiduciary really means to me is the golden rule. Do things to others as you would want done to you. Treat people well. It's really simple. It's the basics. It's the basics of being in business. Leave people better off than the way you found them.
Well, it's their interests, not yours.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what it is. You know, you've got to be aware of that. And ultimately, our job is to give advice. As I tell my clients, is not to tell you what to do. We're not financial tellers. We're financial advisors. We advise you, and then you make your own decision after you're educated. And as long as you're educated, well, then you probably make a better, more informed decision, which is our goal all along. So, you know, with the time I have left, I think we're getting up to a break in just a couple minutes. Oh, now he's giving me the break sign. Thank you, Sal. I'm ahead of you. But I want to talk about a couple things that I've seen recently, and it relates to scams. I know we talked about scams recently when my bank, quote unquote, called me and told me someone was trying to wire money out. There's been a few others I want to mention so that we're all aware of what's happening around us. Again, if you need to retire successfully, you give my office a call. We will help. 508-673-3300.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. Leaving a place of safety, get on the coaster, hear the clickety-clack as you experience anticipation climbing to the top of the hill, followed by sheer panic as you plummet back to the earth, hoping you stay on track. You might be brave enough to repeat the process several times, going up and down, but never achieving higher highs and accomplishing nothing but anticipation followed by fear. The stock market has been doing this same ride of volatility with no real growth. Proper education, though, can help you find a better way to grow your money during these times.
So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster treating you? It's time to get off and call Richard Bassett right now at 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. Before the break, I mentioned scams. I was the victim of a potential scam. Luckily, they didn't get my code, but they tried. My bank, quote unquote, texted me and told me there was a fraud alert. I said it wasn't me. They said somebody from the bank will call. How do we know that's a scam? Well, the bank's not going to call you. They're going to tell you to call the bank. When in doubt, don't give it out. Hang up the phone. Call your bank. Call the number on the back of your car to make sure you're dealing with the people you think you are dealing with. I had a client over the weekend email me something, and asked me to look at it. It was from an insurance company asking him to confirm his social. This morning, I called him and told him, disregard it, shred it, do not respond to it, because any investment company you've ever done business with, insurance, investment, does not matter. They already have your social. They already have it. So why are they asking to clarify it? Because that's not them asking for it. Recently, I had a client a few weeks ago. I went to her house for a visit, and when I got there, she immediately started crying. That's not a great start to a visit with your financial advisor. So after I got her calmed down, I asked what happened, and long story short, she was the victim of a romance scam. Somebody she met through Facebook messaging. She had commented on someone's Facebook message. This other person commented to her saying it was the person she was commenting on. And the romance ensued. And before you know it, she was wiring money, Bitcoin, etc., to this criminal. As far as I'm concerned, obviously that's what they are. They stole money. This criminal who was pretending to be somebody else, and there was I love you said, and so on and so forth. And of course, part of a scam, as we talked about that week when we talked about scams, was she was told, don't tell anybody about this. Mm-hmm. Any legitimate business will always tell you, please tell me. I tell people on my cards, I think, or on my advertisements.
Don't keep us a secret.
Exactly. We want to be known. We hope to be known. That's how we make money with new clients. So any kind someone tells you, don't tell somebody or act quickly, chances are you may be dealing with a scammer. Stop. Think before you take action. If they're telling you to act quickly, they're instilling urgency, chances are that is a scam. Now, this other scam that my client last week told me about, I don't even know how to avoid it, but I do think I have an idea. Some of my older listeners may not like it, but this is called whitewashing. What you do, or I guess what happens to you, is you send checks out to your phone company or to your oil company or to your insurance company, where anywhere you want to go, and some criminal takes your check out of the mail and he whitewashes the numbers and he whitewashes the payee, keeps your signature on it conveniently, and then he writes in the amount and the payee he wants. So my client in particular, it was to the tune of $20,000. They wrote three checks to three different car companies, if I remember correctly, and literally tried to clean this retiree out in one fell swoop by snagging checks out of the mail. And the crazy part is, once I put a check in the mail, I really don't think about it again. But no. I guess you better. So, you know, you notice companies have made this online push, do everything online, do it direct, you know, do it auto bill pay, whatever you want to call it. There may be some benefit to that after all, besides saving the stamp and saving the, you know, saving the environmental effects of paper and all that. It might be the fact that you know that the person you're paying is getting paid, and you also know that some criminal is not taking your check and then altering them in some way that becomes very, very believable. And what I've said for quite some time is I feel like some of us in society have decided that it is easier to steal money than it is to go out and make our own money. And it seems like these scams are becoming more of a thing. And these are just two that happened to clients of mine recently. So, you know, take my bank issue, take theirs. That's three scams and it's March. So three different scams that I've been involved in with a client or on my own already this year. So be aware, be very careful, be aware of your surroundings. So just to remind you, you know, if you can, if you're using your debit card or your credit card and it says insert or tap, the answer is tap. Insert is where they get you with skimmers. You know, if you can pay bills directly over the phone or, you know, through the computer or direct bill pay, you might be better off because there's less checks going out. And again, regarding the romance issue, if you're falling in love online with somebody, please make sure it's actually the somebody you believe it to be, because sometimes there are bad actors out there that really don't care about being a good person, and they will tell you anything you need to hear to convince you that, you know, this romance is real and you guys are going to spend the rest of your life together. But the reality is that's not what's happening. What's happening is they are slowly gaining your confidence, you know, sort of bringing you in layer by layer by layer. And as you give them more information, they have more information to use against you. And ultimately, they will. And before you know it, they're asking for money. And you give it to them because you're in love with them. And that's what you do. So, you know, you've got to be aware of these. And unfortunately, with most of these, once you give your money out, there's no way to get it back. So, you know, we've got to be smarter as a society, and especially yourself. You want to make sure you're protected. So with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Dave with what's going on in the real estate world. Dave?
Well, I am David Brown, realtor with High Point Properties. My phone number is 508-277-3297. Just want to talk about how they're starting to build houses again. I mean, tis the season to start building houses. They're already breaking ground. They're already getting building permits. And just so you know, builders are sweetening the deal to win over more buyers. And part of the ways they're doing that, they're just plain reducing home prices. And they're also using something called mortgage rate buy-downs. And if you don't know what that is, what that means is the buyer will pay a fee up front in return for a lower mortgage rate. So that's on the table too. So these are interesting concepts for all you buyers out there, because as you know, the inventory is just plain low, and since it is low, the building is, you know, they're not running out of woods or fields. There's still plenty of room to build, and they're doing it. And there will be more on the market. Single-family home starts jumped 12% back in February, and that's not even the peak of the building season. That's higher than it was last year by like 3%. So things are changing quickly. There's other incentives they're using the contractors are using to entice buyers as well. And, you know, they'll give you funds towards closing costs, usually up to about 20 grand. They'll give you towards closing. And there's also something known as flex dollars. And if you're unfamiliar with the term flex dollars, what that means is the contractor will actually give you money for upgrades in your finishes and your designs. You might, you know, go from a linoleum countertop to a marble. Linoleum instead of tile, yeah, in the bathroom and kitchen. So there's different ways and different strategies that these contractors are using to make it easier and better for the buyer. And that's good news for you buyers out there. So if you need some help buying, call me, 508-277-3297. And a couple other ways they're making things more easy on the buyer. Again, incentives, smaller houses, they cut the home prices, more affordable finishes, shift production towards lower cost homes, building on smaller lots, building farther away from urban areas, and building more townhouses. So thanks, David Brown. Catch you later.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you later.